Welcome to Yacht Crew Vlogs, where we tell the stories of those in the yachting industry. A behind-the-scenes look that discovers the individuals in the industry, their history, their passions, and what inspires them to do what they do.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest from Capital C Design, Cindy Davina. She is the owner, founder, and Great Johnston, as well as part of the company, the technology side of the company, actually. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. It's our pleasure.
Yeah, well, you know what? One of the reasons that I really wanted to bring you guys on board was that your company is highlighting sustainability. And it's not just looking to change, swap out the fuel. It's not just talking about it. You guys are capable of doing an entire build top to bottom and have every aspect of it be environmentally friendly and sustainable as much as possible, way, way beyond what anybody else is doing currently. When it comes to design, Cindy, tell me how that's possible. What things are you capable of doing that make it more sustainable?
Well, that's very true, your statement that, yes, we are not just talking about the sustainability, but we are doing it. So when it comes to design, I do the exterior design, the interior design. When I mean interior, it's everything from the bottom of the bottom deck, that is the engine room layout, the thruster room layout, and everything up to the sun deck or top deck, depends on the yacht size, of course, whatever you call it. Sometimes it ends in sun deck, sometimes it's top deck. To me, it's important that I also know how to design the engine room, thruster room, and everything else, because that's where the sustainability starts. It's not just by using the cliche phrase that our single-use plastic. No, guys, it's not just in that. It's the whole thing. It's the whole holistic way, the whole holistic approach to achieve the net zero. Sorry, that's the dog in the background. So yeah, there's lots of things that I will take into consideration when I design the yacht. Like, first of all, where the client wants to go with the yacht, like whether it's going to be ice class or whether it's just going to be cruising around the tropical region. And whenever I design the boat, again, because I always start from the exterior, so I usually start from the side profile of the boat. And then when I do the GA, I will start at the bottom. So I lay out the engine and the thruster room. Then I will work the way from where the technical spaces are that can't be moved. For example, the head spec, the casing. Then I work my way around it. Instead of designing the suite, the restaurant, the dining area first, then realizing, where I'm going to put the head spec. Where I'm going to put some other technical spaces that is important that can't be moved. Because when I design the boat as well, I want to achieve as minimum HVAC noise as possible. Currently, all of my design, the HVAC level noise is 35 dB throughout the owners and guest suite. And in public spaces, is 49. And that's are achievable by, again, like I said before, starting from the technical spaces. So I hope that answers your question.
What do you think is causing, you know, because we do see a huge sort of push within the yachting industry. They're talking about sustainability. They're talking about making everything green. So they throw in, for example, a vegetable garden. What mistakes are they making? And is it possible for these designers to take that extra step and really spend a bit more time making sure that whatever things they are using in order to do, you know, even soft furnishings, that kind of thing, is it capable of sourcing these things to make sure that every aspect of the interior is sustainable?
Yeah, I think it's very much possible these days. Again, when you talk about vegetable garden, funny enough, our offshore construction vessel, the FDV Kronos, that would be the first construction vessel that will have a hydroponic garden that is cost approved. So I proposed the idea to Gray and then the rest of the offshore team. I was wondering what happened when you guys away from the shore support and you're going to run out of vegetable. press tomato and stuff like that. And I suggested, why don't we grow it ourselves? And the first reaction when we told people, at first they laughed because they thought it's quite funny that you're going to advertise gardeners need it. But then when we think again, no, actually it's a brilliant idea. So I have found a manufacturers that we're going to use, and we have consulted to cars, and they say, yeah, go ahead, we can use that system. And so, since then I implemented that idea to all of the vessels that I designed. So depending on the size of the vessel, if it can, because the system is modular, and then the boat is bigger, then we can put more. If the boat is smaller, then I can just put less. But in answer to vegetable garden, yes, definitely we can do it. And for all softenizing, yeah, we can definitely achieve that as well. But when it comes to softenizing and textile and things like that, first thing first that come to my mind is whether it's safe and the flammability and all everything that is cost related, like, because I always think about the safety of the guests and owners and the crew first. So always ask, is that safe if I want to use that kind of fabric, you know? Then to me, myself, my personal opinion is, to achieve that, I always go back to the source of where that fabric is sourced, and and if the company, the factory itself adheres to their own sustainability. And it's not just the sustainability, but also to the labor, and then the supply chain is the whole thing, because labor has becoming an issue as well. Overtime labor, child labor, you name it. You know, I'm against all of that.
Yeah, I can imagine. Gone are the days that you could look at something and trust what it said. You know, nowadays I think people take many liberties, and you've got to do your own homework back to the source.
Yeah, exactly. The label can be printed anywhere and however they want, but really what's written on the label and what really said in there is two different things. Yeah.
Well, speaking of a garden, now this comes to the technology aspect of things, because if you have, say, over 100 meter super yacht, and you've got a pretty decent size garden, hydroponic garden or whatever that you've put on board, you're going to have to water that. You're going to have to take care of it. There's going to be, you know, weeding. There's going to be, you know, bits that you have to get rid of. How do you address that technologically with your wastewater, you know, the gray water, the black water? How do you create sort of a sustainable water supply?
Well, we don't take on onshore water at all. We've got multiple reverse osmosis plants. We've got evaporative water systems as well. So again, by using the evaporators, we can generate water when we are running the engines. So we can do that. Again, if it's in harbour, we can run the engines, generate our own water as opposed to using the RO. That goes into the, that water can go into the hydroponic garden. In regards to the grey water and the black water, we have two standalone systems. Treat the grey water first, then the grey water gets turned into the black water. Separate the solids from the black water later on, and the solids, as well as any organic waste from the vessel, goes into zero emissions incinerators. The zero emissions incinerators turn 100 kilograms of rubbish into either heat energy for boilers, for showers, or then back into an evaporator, which gets turned into electrical energy. So what that then does is it means that the yacht doesn't have to take on onshore water, which is a cost. You don't have to dispose of rubbish onshore, which is a cost. And you don't have to pump effluent out of the boat because you don't have any, which onshore is not only a cost, but it's a stench associated with the cost. As well as these are times where you're parked up or you've got to move the yacht around to do these things in the harbour. We don't have any of that. We've removed it all.
So this must be extremely expensive then. You know, when we're talking traditional yachts, all that stuff is there. But to make sure that you are net zero and everything is sustainable and you have all these systems running on board, is that more expensive?
Depends on how you would describe expense. If you want to use a main engine that might have been 800,000 euros for a main engine, and we could put a dual fuel methanol engine in that costs €820,000 for the same engine. And then you don't need to use that engine as much. It's now got methanol, and we use methanol to hydrogen fuel cell. Now, the methanol that goes into that is then only 67% methanol. The rest is distilled water, which we've made. So in reality, depending, the biggest expense for us is the batteries. So the batteries are about €600,000 a megawatt. Once they're built into the boat, everything is scalable, everything's adaptable. All of the designs are standard boats, depending, you know, a 50-meter boat, you look about 4 megawatts of batteries. A 100-meter boat, we can put 12 megawatts and upgrade in 1 megawatt or 2 megawatt modules. The infrastructure is put into the boat from day one. The extra cabinets are in there for the switchboards. We run all the power cable. And if the owner decides, hey, I want more batteries, we just put more batteries in. So the difference is, which we've seen, we've studied with the offshore boat, we can run these yachts 75% of the time at a high cruising speed, as opposed to a very, you know, a lot of other designs you see with the battery packs. And yes, they can run 75% of the time at 6 knots, but what owner wants to go anywhere at 6 knots? They want to go 14 knots. So we can run at 14 knots for 75% of a 24-hour period if you're steaming, run the engines for the other 25% of the day. They can either just run as straight engines, or they can run and charge the batteries, and we can pick up the extra pace that way. Or we run the fuel cells. So it really, we've got multiple options. If you just want to run on engines, we run on engines. Also, by running on the engines, you can pick up the extra heat, the waste energy transfer system, so you still can run the engines. I mean, the net zero is dependent upon our feedstock. If we've got green methanol, we're 100% net zero. We're on 99% reduced NOx and SOx. Then we're on net zero. If we're on blue methanol, the NOx and SOx is still those numbers. However, the cost, you know, the environment of using the blue methanol to put it into the boat. I mean, net zero is relative of the supply chain for the vessel. The yachts are net zero. By 2025, our first batch will be net zero. They're future-proof to 2050. We've ran on one project where we had to get statements for a client. We've got statements from Class, major equipment vendors. It's proven technology, and we're 5 years ahead of any other designer, in particular in the offshore market space, which is light years ahead of where the super yacht industry is, which is quite a profound statement, but it's a long way. And people don't understand. Diesel electric or gas electric or steam electric boat. The first steam electric boat was built in 1903. What the industry calls dynamic positioning, or in the yachting industry, anchorless positioning. The first system was used in 1961. Azipod thrusters with the electric motor was developed and first used by ABB in 1980. The technology is not new. What's new is putting it all together and interfacing it. That's new. The offshore industry has been doing it for the last 12 years. So it exists. It's not hard, and it's how much it saves the yacht owner, and it's how much the boat doesn't need to be pulled out of the water, because, you know, the Azipods can be removed in water, minimize the maintenance, keep the uptime.
So it may cost a little bit more upfront, but in the long run, it's actually much cheaper because, as you said, you're not using, you know, you're not having to get the water on shore. You're not having to call the waste truck to come and do waste removal. And of course, fuel costs go down because you're actually creating your own fuel on board with your waste.
Literally. Yes, exactly. And then even when you're using the fuel cell, you're diluting the methanol with water that you've made. You know, you're going to a 67% fuel mix. which gives you net zero, which if you're in Antarctica, you know, you could go through Antarctica on complete net zero using the methanol fuel cell. You don't need to turn your engines on at all.
Let me ask you this. In your opinion, the most sustainable super yacht out there right now, how sustainable is it truly?
Without seeing the full facts and figures of some of them in regards to the battery packs, because the energy storage is one of the drivers, we haven't seen any that have big battery packs. You know, they say they can do it. We've seen a proposal of someone that's going to build one, and it's a 100-meter boat. It's got 3 1-megawatt generators, 5 megawatt of battery pack, and they're saying it can run 75% of the time on batteries. That's BS. It's never going to happen. That boat needs much bigger engines to charge up those batteries. You know, and you know the graphs that you see from a lot of the manufacturers, if you actually pull it apart and went to ABB or Kongsberg or any of the companies that develop and work on these systems, they'll tell you that it's greenwashed. Yes, it's got a battery pack, but the battery pack doesn't do anything. You know, the days of having a, the best way to describe it, so for example, as you know, we own Triumph Subsea. Triumph Subsea has been called the Teslas of the sea. We have our 200 meter boat, 35 meters wide. If we are laying cable in deep water, we have the ability, just like an F1 car with a kinetic energy recovery system, we can run that boat on zero fuel and regenerate between 22 and 44 megawatts of power in a day. And we run 24 megawatt of battery packs to catch energy. Wow. That boat can do 5 tons of fuel a day on dynamic positioning. And this thing is, it's a behemoth. So to put that tech into a super yacht, we've just scaled it down. We can make the boat as green as an owner wants. 100 meter super yacht, 12 to 18 megawatts of battery pack, no problem. The cost is not that much more because you get the ROI is back within a couple of years, subject to whether the owner uses it himself or use it as a charter boat. And as a charter fleet, many people are asking, what's the sustainability of the boat? How many charter boats are there that can say they're actually sustainable, apart from single-use plastics? You know, yeah. So a lot of greenwashing within different industries.
I think we're talking about the super yacht industry right now, to be honest.
Many industries, many, many of them.
Yeah.
You know, it's across the board. We've seen it in the offshore and we've seen it in the super yacht. The designers are maybe not there. One of the things that Capital C does, you know, and it's Capital C design and technology, is we incorporate the technology into the design. So Cindy does do the vessels from the bottom of the boat, incorporating every single system. We then, you know, she starts with the outside design, designs down to the engine room, then starts from the bottom up.
Yeah.
And then further to that, you know, we looked at other issues. We looked at security. We looked at everything. So we've got integrated security systems that are connected to our smart HVAC, which are connected to the artificial intelligence for facial recognition. We know who should be on the boat, who shouldn't be on the boat. It's connected to when people are out scuba diving. I mean, again, we're a subsea company. We don't build a boat without putting a diving chamber and training the people how to use a diving chamber. You go into Antarctica and you go scuba diving and don't have a diving chamber. And yet the ultra high net worth is not allowed to hop in a single engine helicopter, but everyone seems to think it's okay for him to go scuba diving in Antarctica without a decompression chamber nearby. What are we missing here? It's about putting all the pieces of the puzzle together, and the sustainability is the biggest piece, but it's a simple piece and it doesn't cost a lot more.
Right. Well, you know what? I am going to make sure to provide all of your information below this interview when it airs, in case you are looking for a new build or even a refit, because they can take your existing yacht and apply as much as possible their technology to your existing yacht. It won't be perfect, because it's already built, but you know, it's always best to do the best you can. I want to say thank you very, very much to both Cindy and Gray. Thank you.
No, we thank you to you too, Rhea. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Rhea.
And if you are interested in a sustainability and net zero with your yacht, or your owner is looking to have a new yacht built, I would definitely recommend checking out their website and, you know, seeing the next generation would thank you, I'm sure. You've been watching another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. We'll see you again next time.